Blog Talk Radio. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. Well, today we actually are broadcasting, obviously. We had a schedule change on Wednesday, so we had to switch the show to today. So welcome, everyone. 914-338-0164 is the way to get in touch with us. Please do press 1 if you'd like to speak with us. And we would love it if you joined us on Facebook or Twitter. Those accounts are linked on our Blog Talk Radio profile, the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. And, you know, I realized that I forgot to mention in the last 3 weeks of shows we did, the Wildlife SOS fundraiser, which I ended early. And the reason, well, The reason we ended it early is because on December 31st, Wildlife SOS doubled the donations of any fundraisers that were ended on that day. So actually, the donations that we netted were doubled, which is why.
That's great.
Yeah. So I thought that was probably a better alternative than keeping the fundraiser going. Given the donations were, you know, we got some nice donations from people, so we really appreciate that.
That's great.
But I think it was probably a more financially sound decision for Wildlife SOS on their behalf to end it early because of the doubling, rather than keeping it open. So that's what happened to the fundraiser, and we'll probably be doing another fundraiser shortly for the Voiceless Dogs of Nassau, Bahamas. But that may be in spring.
Okay. You know, it's
Martin Luther King
also,
Day.
It's, you know, the other groups like Defenders of Wildlife.
Oh.
We can always.
Yeah, we can do that too.
Think about doing something like that. They still do effective things, and they block a lot of laws that would otherwise hurt the environment or animals, things like that. So, like I said, contribute to any, on our behalf, contribute to any animal welfare or earth welfare group that you really feel attached to.
Well, it's difficult to know how money is appropriated and actually how these organizations actually defend wildlife, or if they do in fact defend wildlife, like the national park. Well, national park, but like donating to National Parks Association, they allow hunting.
Yeah, we don't go there,
but you know, you have to be careful.
That at least do a significant amount of work, and that's important.
Yeah, but you can always, Charity Navigator is a good non-profit site that any charity can be researched, and it gives detailed information about how, where the money goes, where the donations go.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so while we're waiting for some callers.
So the idea when we talk
What idea are we talking about?
The idea of, so a new reduction of entering the astral realm. What does that feel like to actually move into that realm? One, in a dream state, to where it's just not a psychological dream, and it becomes an actual journey into the astral realm. And then two, when one consciously astral projects in their waking state, what does that feel like? One indication that what it feels like is that in the dream world, you actually, your soul, your astral body leaves your body. So there's a, in the dream, there's a very sound experience of movement. I mean, we can have dreams, psychological dreams, where we're walking or running, and we even make motions in our sleep, and you can see dogs doing it, cats doing it, people do it. And in a dream, and just having a psychological dream, you can't have a sense of movement. But when you have an astral projection dream, it's very different. And the content of the dream has all kinds of mysteries in it, like you're either in a room with people you don't know. Now, someone may say, well, if you were having a dream in a room with people you don't know, well, when was the last time you were in a waiting room, like in a doctor's office, or a waiting room, or in a line at the bank with people you don't know? You've just incorporated that experience into your dream. Well, sure, a psychological dream can have strangers in it, and we can be talking to them, because in our experience, sometimes when we're standing in line or we're in a room with a lot of different people, we have these internal conversations. Oh, that guy looks fat. Well, I wonder what that lady looks
That's
like.
That's a nice thought.
Or that woman looks attractive or whatever. I don't have time to. But I don't care less. But when you're in a room with people, you do have these narratives running through your mind, which lo and behold, they reappear in your dream world, and it's just merely psychological. However, you can also leave your body, and there's a sheer attitude of movement. Sometimes you feel like you're in a car, and you go, again, well, maybe you're just having a dream because you're driving a car. But there's a different sense of movement. And it's hard to explain, because when we're actually in a car, there is a sense of movement. So why not replicate that in a dream? So sometimes it's hard to determine if one is having a psychological dream with all those items and definitions enclosed, or if one has actually entered the astral realm and the psychological dream is now a astral dream. Very different. Sometimes it's hard to determine. When I hear people give dreams, I seem to have a knack for knowing if it was psychological or astral. Certain cues come up about the narrative of the dream, and I just can feel where it's taking place, whether in the mind or in the astral realm. But there are some requirements of the astral realm. There would be a requirement of movement. There would be a requirement of maybe flying or running or walking. But so that would be a requirement, even if it is just a psychological dream, that area would be there. There would also be, sometimes we don't experience the movement in the astral realm. Our recollection only starts after we're there. And
right.
We're suddenly in a room talking to people or having this weird experience. The narrative beforehand has been cut off. And we just collect it like we turned on a movie after it was been on 40 minutes. And we turn it on the TV and it's on.
Yeah, well, you know, there was a dream I was sharing with you this morning, which I won't share on the air, but a detail that I did not, and it was an astral dream, but a detail that I did not share was that there was a car in the dream. I don't remember being in the car, but
yeah.
I was watching the car travel.
The car, you see, what that experience of the car in our sleeping states, that could be an orb that we're traveling within. It could be just the movement of our astral body traveling. Oftentimes we are surrounded by an orb when we travel in the astral realm. It's like being in a space capsule. And because the astral realm isn't necessarily the safest place to go, and there's got to be protection there. It is a real realm. And surely your spirit, your astral body can go there without any protection. But sometimes it's wise to be embodied within an orb. It's sort of like a plasma. It's like an egg yolk.
Egg.
But it's,
or eggshell.
Well,
I mean, it's softer. I know an orb is not the hard, shell. Doesn't have a hard shell. Yeah, I understand that. But
it's
in terms
like
of protection.
An egg yolk kind of jelly-like fluid. And but it's not easy to go through. It one goes through it because one owns it. It's their own astral outer covering, if you will.
Right. So it is a shell of sorts, but not a hard shell of like an egg shell.
It's more
feel.
It's more like plasma.
But in terms of the protection, it's shell like.
Yeah. You know, but in life we have. We have the energy of your body going into an astral realm, and you have that covering there, is kind of correlated to the idea of how we protect ourselves in the physical world. In the physical world is a different kind of definition, which is the skin and that kind of thing. We protect our bones. We're just not walking around with bones, exposed organs. We have a certain attitude of further physical protection. And then even when we perspire and that clings to our body, we have a certain cellular structure. There is a cellular structure, if you will, to the astral realm, but it's the cellular structure of the soul, of the astral body, and because it's still cellular, meaning that the soul is still attached to the content of the planet, the earth, until you go into an extreme spiritual place, and that is one aspect of astral travel. So you are encased in that energy field. Now you were mentioning, yeah, you could start the astral recollection without any movement at all.
I did have movement though in the dream while I was walking. I shared that with you also. But I mean, usually there's going to be movement in a dream. I mean, people aren't just frozen in a dream. So aside from the walking, yes, there was a car.
Yeah.
I mean, generally, there's going to be activity in a dream. So you can't always say, well, you know, if you're moving, it's an astral dream. You're going to have psychological dreams where you're moving as well. But there's other content within the astral dream, such as symbols that are going on, strangers, different, and a different tone that is distinct to an astral dream that's, to me, when I have a dream that's astral, it's easy for me to identify as opposed to something that's psychological.
Yeah, it does get a little confusing. I mean, you can have an astral dream, not a psychological dream, but an astral dream where you're in the house of you're in somebody else's home, going through their drawers, going through their cabinets, looking for something. Now that can be psychological, but it could also be that literally your astral body traveled to that location and for some reason you're searching for something in the house. I know in readings, I'll astral project in a reading and try to see things not just with my mind's eye, but with my astral body. So if I'm doing a reading and I go, there's a cup of coffee in front of you, and there's a checkered apron sitting on the stove. Oh, God, yes, those things are there. Now, is it because I've seen it through my third eye just sitting in a chair and I have done remote vision? Or have I transported myself to the location? Well, it can be one of the two. It could be both. Sometimes I purposely will take myself out of my body in a reading and actually go to the location and sense and feel it. We get a lot of calls, oh, I misplaced my keys. I don't know where this is. I lost my ring. Going through the house, you can do it remotely. That would be more like a psychological astral vision because you're staying in your body. But in the astral world, you're still using astral sight to see something, but you're doing it within the body. So that would be like having a dream within the body, but you're psychic. Or you literally leave your body and you remotely, well, not remotely, but you travel through an astral journey channel to a specific location. So if you're having, you can determine on your own whether your dream is astral or not, because there'll be a different feeling.
There's a different feeling.
How would you explain that feeling?
It depends on the type of astral dream that I'm having, but last night's dream, I mean, there was an eerie feeling that I just can't really articulate.
What do you mean, eerie feeling?
Well, just the stuff that was going on in the dream. I don't really want to go into the details of the dream when they are.
Oh, no.
So I don't think I can really explain fully what was eerie about the dream in terms of the feeling, but what was going on, I mean, it was very Spartan, the setting, and I can't articulate it without going into the explanation,
yeah.
Unfortunately.
There is going to be a different sensation you have because you're in bed sleeping, but currently your astral body is out of your body. It's there to the extent that there's a silver cord attaching it to your body, so that it's not a total amputation or separation. It's still there, so it's still attached. But the feeling will be different, because when the astral body is inside the body, it's encased in the body naturally. But when it's outside of the body, connected by the silver cord, it's sending messages to the sleeping body, and imbued in those messages is the sense of movement. You're getting the sense of your astral body moving. So your sleeping body will perceive the movement of your astral body, and so that's different than just having an intact psychological dream where you're moving around. It's a whole different feeling to the aspect of, it's almost like if you're flying a kite in the high sky and it's windy, you can feel the movement of the kite in your hands and your arms through the string. Now, if you just hold the kite, you don't feel it. But let it extend up into the sky on a windy day when it's, I remember as a kid, my kites being way up in the sky. I could barely see them.
God, do kids even fly kites anymore? I don't ever see kids fly kites.
Those horrible elastic, those helium balloons that are so destructive. But no, I don't see kites that much anymore. But kites were a big thing.
They
used to have
kite
shops.
Too.
Kites were a big deal, and different kinds of kites were, exciting to buy when you were a kid back in those days. But yeah, but I remember when the kite, getting it off the ground was a pain. Charlie Brown style, it was horrible trying to get the kite off the ground because you have to run and then let out the string, and somebody would sometimes hold the kite and then you'd run and they'd let it go. Sometimes the whole thing would break. But once it got up in the air, slowly, got up in the air, higher, higher and higher, and it was way out there, and the wind was keeping the kite adrift, but prompting the kite to sway back and forth, you could feel the wind current, so you could actually feel that kite up there. That's sort of like feeling the astral body in the astral realm. You get a feeling, a sensation, and a read, if you will, of the movement of the astral body. Now, of course, that's going to be different than the astral body being inside you. The astral body being inside you is not movable. It's just there. It's locked in the chakra systems. It's just there. The only way the astral body can leave, essentially, most conveniently, is through the third eye. I mean, most of us, when we leave our houses, we don't climb out the window. We go out the front door. We can go out a window, but most of us don't get on a ladder and get out the window and, you know what I mean, we go out the front door. The front door to the astral realm is the third eye. That's your front door. The windows might be at the other chakras, the navel chakra, but an astral body is not going to go out the navel, or God forbid, the first chakra. They're not going to go out of one of those chakras just to make an exit. They're going to go out the third eye. It's the main chakra.
You know, that's another point to at least my interpretation when I'm having an astral experience. When I have psychological dreams, the details are more dull. You can have a detailed psychological dream, of course. There can be many details in a psychological dream. But I find that when I'm having an astral dream, there is a heightened sense of awareness. And there's a clearer, I remember my astral dreams more vividly than I remember my psychological dreams in my waking state. My recall is better of the astral dream.
Yeah, well, in most cases, the astral body is sending a deliberate message to the sleeping body. It's like, I don't remember my bulk mail so much, but I do remember my telegrams or my registered mail. Those things I remember. What I got, other than that, you know, I don't tend to, sometimes I even throw it away without looking at it. I'm talking in the third person. So your recollection of an astral dream would be analogous to the idea of like getting a telegram. Will you read it? Oh my God, I got a special letter, registered letter. I've got to read this. That's where the difference is. But here's the thing. The question is, does the astral body send messages to the sleeping body by nature? Is it just organically? Or does the astral body have a certain intent to send messages back to the sleeping body? So, does the astral body have no control and the sleeping body gets to see whatever the astral body is doing? Or does the astral body have a choice to send back to the sleeping body given specific information?
I believe the latter. It's true. More than, yeah.
Because the astral body cannot send messages to the sleeping physical consciousness that are forbidden, that's forbidden knowledge, or that is knowledge that the sleeping body on the earth isn't privileged to know. Because the astral body will enter certain realms where there is information going on that is still in the testing of the individual's life. It's still part of the test of life. But the astral body gets to release itself and enter the astral realm and gets on the conditions of the life that must be met, because the astral body already knows that. So we, our astral bodies are not entirely true to our physical bodies. They withhold information. They have all the information, but they cannot dispel it to the consciousness of the human being.
You mean to disperse it? Disperse it.
Yeah, disperse it. I said dispel.
You said dispel. It does. Disperse. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
It's a spell.
So whatever.
Dis or the devil, but you can't. It can't give information to this to the
or dispense.
Body.
Dispense.
Well, I think.
Anyway, so. Okay.
Share whatever, but it can't provide all the information at hand. But it can go out there and receive information that it's privileged to know.
Right.
On the astral.
So on that note, that's why it's so important to be able to have someone to interpret your dreams correctly, or to be able to do it yourself, because you can really be misguided by your dreams, because like you said, the person isn't going to get information from the astral realm that person isn't privileged to have. Yet there are a lot of people that have dreams and that are interpreted in a certain way that are way, way misguided.
Yeah. You know, there's a passage in the Old Testament where I forget, was it Solomon? Where his dreams are supposed to be interpreted. And the dreams, the cows were dying and this kind of thing.
The famine you dread about?
And if you gave a wrong interpretation, you'd be killed. It would turn out to be wrong.
Good luck.
Well, this guy said that. The dream, the cows dying represents so many years of famine. And he analyzed the dream correctly and was exalted and put into a higher position by the king. But I'm sort of
paraphrasing it. Wobbly, but it doesn't matter. But I know what passage you're talking.
Yeah.
I know.
So the interpretation of dreams goes all the way back, at least in our biblical times. But not to mention that, you can. There are people who are gifted enough to know the exact interpretation of dreams. In fact, Freud wrote a book, The Interpretation of Dreams, but based it upon the structure of his own. Have his own theories about life's conditioning within the first 5 years of life, 7 years of life, and everything was constructed along those lines. But he did. It's a big book. It's a massive book, The Interpretation of Dreams by Sigmund Freud.
Well, yeah, and then you get into the Jungian interpretation of dreams, getting more into the idea of the collective unconscious rather than, you know, a phase of life.
Exactly. So dreams have great symbolism, and then you get into all kinds of other matters of the interpretation.
But
of
how to interpret those symbols? I mean, you can be misled if you interpret, if your dream is interpreted incorrectly.
Right.
Majorly.
Right. So there is an innate, some people have an innate gift to interpret dreams, and others have learned it through classical study and academic study and things like that, and in the form of symbolism. Of course, some people will run to their symbolism book. Well, I had a dream about a frog. Oh, a frog represents this. So that's what the dream meant. That's more of a broad definition, and I think it's totally simplistic in its analysis. So I don't usually personally tend to allude to symbols and what they might mean. But my God.
But you have to talk to the individual about their own experience with that specific symbol, I think, to get sometimes to the core of what a symbol means in a person's dream. It can be totally unique to the person, not just a generalized symbol. The other thing is another dream, because I had really last night, for some reason, very vivid dreams all night. There was another dream that I had that I believe was a mix of psychological and astral. So I think it was both. And it was influenced by something I was watching, because it involved a house and its price range and features of the home.
Yeah.
But there were other aspects of the dream that I know were astral. So they can intermix. the astral and the psychological.
We dream, do a lot of dream all night. We have several dreams, and sometimes they get intermingled. So that is quite possible that you could have intermingled an astral dream with a physical dream. And then when the astral dream is completed, astral body goes back into the physical body, and dreams may continue, so it seems like a continuum of the same dream. And as far as symbols are concerned, I mean, when people say, well, I had a frog, or I had a cow, or there was a rain, that's like saying, I went to the bookstore, and I went to the mystery section, and there was a gun on the cover of one of the books. So I know that gun represents, but does that gun tell you the whole plot?
No. However, I mean, if you talk to somebody about their associations with a certain symbol, then that can be a tool to provide a clue in interpreting their dream. It may not always work, but there can be a linkage, especially if you're talking about a psychological dream rather than an astral dream. That's going to be more linked to someone's experience than an astral dream, which you're getting information from another realm,
right,
rather than a personal.
Right. Well, yeah, there are different levels of interpretation in a dream, and there's never an end to how we define what an astral dream is, because the astral realm is so deep that we sometimes measure it by levels. The first level may be totally related to your life and circumstances of your life. The astral body may penetrate to the next level, and it's about the world. The next level may be about the universe. The next level may be about a past life. The next level may be about the afterlife and realms that you'll experience once you go into the afterlife. So there are different levels of the astral realm that the astral body encounters and participates in, and thereby sends messages back. So you sometimes have to define a dream by what level the astral body is operating in. And yes, indeed, an astral body can go immediately to a psychological level related to via the astral realm, to where the dream itself seems very psychological. But that may be attached to past life conditions as well.
Yeah. Okay, so we have a caller, Karen, I believe.
Hi, this is Karen from Chicago.
Hi, Karen. How are you?
Hello. Oh, pretty good. Pretty good. I'm hanging in there. Hanging in there. I'm just trying to get my taxes done, chase down a stimulus. So, just enjoy the day off. Yeah.
Well, what are you working? What's going on?
Yes. Yeah. I am doing the part-time stay-at-home with the phones. So I did get that back. Yeah, and I think I'll have that for about another 3 weeks or 4 weeks.
So is this a job that you told us about?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Yes, they had laid me off, but they got a couple more contracts, so I'll be with them for about, I would say maybe about another month.
Okay.
And
so specifically, are you calling about a job? Is that your question?
No.
Oh,
no,
okay.
I'm calling if you see me finally resolving getting my the second I never received my second stimulus, so that my tax preparer said that I'm going to have to file a form and also file my taxes, which is going to be another lengthy process. And I'm just wondering if you see that all being resolved.
Well, I mean, I don't see why it wouldn't be resolved. I mean, just on a basic level of intuition and logic, is there any explanation as to why, when you first received your first stimulus, how did you receive it? What was the method of disbursement?
Through the direct deposit. There was no
direct
problem.
Deposit. So
right.
What is the explanation behind your not receiving this disbursement? Because if everything has remained the same, you would think that it would have gone smoothly.
Right. They said that it was because I used a tax preparer, one of these brand name ones, that they're, what they're possibly saying is that I have to go back to these, that the money got deposited with their account instead of my account. So therefore, I have to file a form to get that corrected.
So, but the filing the form, have you, well, one, have you contacted them to ask if they received additional monies that were attached to your name? I mean, it would be attached to your Social Security number.
Right. They called me and told me that I'm going to have to file the form to retract that money.
So they did receive it.
Right. They said that. And then they said that I have to file a form to get that straightened out, I guess. So
then
it's
a big, you know, bureaucracy. So you received the first stimulus prior to filing taxes last year is what happened. Then you filed taxes with a company, and that is what caused the issue.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I think it will be resolved, but it could be a process, obviously, because
right.
Filling out a form and having to, what do you submit it to the IRS?
Yeah.
Right.
You know, Karen, what you're asking, we're approaching it on a logical level, but if,
right.
But since you're asking psychics what they see beyond the logic, there are two parts to that, to answer that question. Number one is your karma with money. Your karma with money, specifically speaking, when you have eights and an energy, that's a money issue. Eights occupy a lot of money stuff. Not all the time, but it does. And of course, numbers lacking eights also can be involved in high money matters. You're though born in 71, which is a broken eight. It's next to a seven, which is preceded by 331. So, and your master number is seven. So the matter of money in your linear code is a broken up eight. And your ultimate master number is one shy of eight. So the idea of what's going on in its physical ramifications is compounded by your karma with money.
So can I just say something? Sorry to interrupt, but I don't know if she understands exactly what you meant. So she has a 71, obviously her year is an eight, but when you get over to the century, so you're adding up, Karen, 331, mm-hmm. you have a seven. And then when you get to the century, it's 17, which is another 71. It's this, it's a reflection of the year.
It's a broken eight. So what you have to do, Karen, is look throughout your life as to how you gained and lost money.
And
your relationship with money throughout your entire life. You're 49 years old. You're on your seventh cycle.
And she typically calls us about job issues, money issues. It's usually the content of our conversation with her.
Now, when we look at if we're looking at that, and you are 49, which is 7 times 7, your master number, and you're born in 71, from 7 to 1 is a drop of 6, which is reflected in your first two threes, we've got something that your money issues were disturbed in a past life by spirit, meaning that in a past life, you used spirituality as a gains to make money. Now, a lot of spiritual people are very spiritual and they're wealthy, and that's okay. But a lot of people in lifetimes use spirit to make money. It becomes a means to an end. And they build a lot on their life by spiritual matters, but they convert that energy into making money. You probably did that in a past life, So your vision was somewhat distorted by your ambition. And it became a matter that in this lifetime is revisiting you on probably a much smaller scale because you've reduced the karma as you've proceeded through lifetimes. But to answer your question, on a psychic level, about your stimulus check, yes. You'll probably get it before March. You know, some maybe
April.
Maybe, well, you say April. I mean, you know, when we look at her birthday, 331, and that's when she's going to leave the 49th year, the first year of her cycle, and she becomes 50. It could be that the decisions might be made by then, but you don't receive your check. It could be before, but, you know, suffice to say 31 is a 4. It could be March or April. Kirsten feels April, possibly, yes. But you'll get it. But that's a psychic impression.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense because that's the time around that I got it last year. I think it was like right near my birthday at the end of the month during that first week of April. So that's correct. That's exactly correct. I think that's the correct time.
Yeah. What you've got to do is ask yourself in this lifetime how spiritual you're around the issues of money. And just for fun, give yourself a test, build a narration around it, and see what you come up with.
You know, it's interesting because in her last lifetime, she was a 6. So there's the 6 in her 3-3, and then she's got to draw the 6 from 7-1.
True. But the 1 is carried over from the day to the year. So there's something about her foundation.
Right.
Her foundation's
going
that was dirty. Something wasn't clean about it.
And now she's come back as a 7. Her highest number on her board is linear board is 7.
Yeah.
So.
But she can gain that 8 again.
Even
make it into a 9.
Yeah.
So your chances of gaining in this lifetime over your past lives is outstanding. But it's going to mean that you have to reach down to the basis of your foundation of thought, content, motivation, idealistically speaking, your intellect, your spirit. You got to start asking yourself questions, Karen, that are just not convenient to your ego, but go deeper into your soul. And this might help to resolve you of some of your current distractions and concerns.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we talked about that on another show. Actually, we were talking about what you did, what's your connection to spirit. You were talking about saying the rosary, something that you do. Do you remember
that?
Yeah, you got to do more than that. But
right,
we talked about this before, so we're just
it can't be ritual, Karen. You can't define it as a ritual. You've got to go deeper. But it will be entertaining and enlightening. You won't lose anything by doing it. You'll gain. You might even come up with a conclusion that adds momentum to your thrust through life. But don't be afraid of that. Don't be afraid of that journey. You should do it.
We got to take this other call, but for some reason, is there anybody that in your past or that you know now named Ted? For some reason that name came in. Ted?
Oh,
Teddy?
Yes, there was a guy in college I dated, and his name was Ted.
Okay. Well, I don't know why that came in.
A guy named Ted in college. So, you know, your relationship, outstandingly speaking, your relationship with the opposite sex throughout life, look at it and define it in color form. Was it bright? Was it dark? Was it mediocre? Melancholy? Entertaining? Just look at that and get an overall average of your relationship to men in this life.
Are you still dating that guy? What was his name? Owen?
Yes.
I don't know why I remember that. But anyway, you're still dating him?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, that's just...
Okay.
Well, hopefully we help
all right.
today, Karen.
Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye. All right. 905 doesn't have his or her hand raised, but probably wants reading, I'm guessing. Hello. Are you just listening, 905, or did you want to speak with us?
I'd like to speak with you.
Okay, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Good. I didn't see a hand. Sorry, it's my first time finding you guys and calling in.
Just press one, but if you didn't hear the beginning of the show, you wouldn't know.
Okay, well, I will know that for the future, for sure.
Yeah, usually it tells you when you call in to press one if you want to get in the queue. But anyway, what's your name, first of all?
Okay, my name is Mary.
Okay. Hi, Mary.
Hi.
Go ahead with your question. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I just want to know, I've been thinking that I need to work for myself, create some form of a business that would bring me not only financial abundance, but just fulfillment. But I throw out a lot of different ideas, but I don't know that one ever really hits home. Do you see this for me? And what are some of the steps that you see that I may need to take to find what that is?
Okay, but so first of all, as a symbol, I saw an eight, and I wrote it down next to your name. And that's the area you're talking about, finances, money. So either it's going to be in your birth date, or I got the eight because it's related to your question. So what's your birth date, Mary?
It's February 4th, 1968.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you do have an eight in your birth date too.
I do.
But it's still 16, but you're a 30 equals three. Okay. And you've never called us before, right?
No. No.
So real quick, 1998, you would have had a change when you were 30 years old. What happened in 1998?
Oh, okay.
It's sometimes hard to go back and remember.
Yeah. I would really have to think about, I think.
Okay. Well, that's okay. You don't have to look at it right now.
You went to university at any point in your life?
I did, yes.
Yeah. And you achieved at least a bachelor's and undergraduate?
Yes.
Did you approach the master's program at all?
No.
So you stopped at the undergraduate.
I did.
In your lifetime, just that we have various interests in life, and most of us have various interests in every topic under the sun, but what was your connection to gardening and psychology?
Oh, gardening, I'm not too sure about. My only connection is my dad loved to garden. That's about it.
That's a connection. That's a connection.
Yeah, he loved, he had a beautiful vegetable garden. That would be the strongest connection I can give you.
Okay, that's good enough. And what's the other one about
psychology? Which I wrote down too.
I'm not too sure about the psychology one, to be honest with you.
Well, are you a reader? Do you read books?
I do.
Do you ever read books based on psychological premises or the interests of the mind?
Actually, I do. I like to read a lot of things like Gabby Bernstein and Louise Hay and so forth.
Okay, so you have an interest in that area.
So are you in the healing? Are you in the healing arts?
No.
Field? You're not.
No.
But you have an interest in it personally, like on a just for a personal level, but not for a business level. So it's not related to your business.
Correct.
Okay. So in your journey, Mary, you have a two and a four. That's relationship and heart. You have a six is vision. You have an eight, which has outstanding for
and
business.
She rises as she goes.
And
by two.
So, and you're a 30 equals three, master number three. Number one, self-promotion, self-employment would be met. So if you're going to either be self-employed or you're going to be working for somebody, you're going to be better off self-employed, number one. Does that count?
That's exactly what I would want, yes.
That's what she was asking. Was her question.
I missed that part. Well, psychically speaking, self-employment, regardless of what you said before. Now, Have you ever been exposed to, in any level, graphic designing?
No.
Do you want to promote your business through graphics or computer?
A logo.
I would think I would do something online, so that would be something that I would have to do.
Okay.
So we now we're on a sort of a fragile ledge here.
Yeah, no.
But because what it means, what it means in a sheer and appropriate way, is that there are certain conditions that must be met for you to succeed and go forward.
Okay.
So that's why we're psychically on this fragile ledge. So it's like on the high dive, right before you take your swan dive or your triple circle somersault, there's a matter of being balanced, because your fire number is a balance number, 4. So it's about, before you leap, you've got to be balanced and think this through. Okay, so we'll cheat a little bit. What is the profession you want to go into?
That's the unknown for me.
Okay,
that's why we're
having problems.
Okay, so you want to be self-employed. You don't know what you want to do, but I'll tell you something, Mary. You do have options in your brain. There are options you've already examined. You may not know which one you want, but your options are floating around like goldfish in a tank. They're floating around and they're in your mind swimming. So what are 2 ideas you have? You just have to express them now.
Well, can I force you that?
Oh, sorry.
Okay, wait a minute. Kristen wants to say something.
Well, I was just, is there anything related to teaching? I got a teacher, anything in that field?
I at one point did think about doing something online more, even though I don't have a counseling background, just counseling, if you want to use that word, those who have had betrayals in their life.
Okay, so now we have to go backwards, because when I asked you about, are you considering the healing arts, or is there anything related to the healing arts? That is, if you're counseling people based on betrayals, that's in the healing arts.
Okay.
Okay. So that was actually connected to,
if you're talking about a survivor kit or an emotional program to where you want to advise others how you get through certain ordeals from maybe abuse or violations. Okay. So that would still be considered in the academic field of that bachelor's. What did you get your bachelor's in?
Social sciences.
What?
Social, yeah, totally. Social.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's related to psychology.
Is that one of your ideas, is to do some kind of handbook or booklet about survivor's manual, given a certain topic?
To some degree, I was thinking more along the lines of just having group type sessions online. And the only other thing that I ever thought of doing is selling items online, kind of drop shipping business.
Okay, which is completely different than...
Totally different.
Psychology.
Totally
drop
different.
Dropshipping, like on eBay or something?
Or you're selling?
Yeah, just online, yeah.
Yeah.
So a person would sell.
Yeah, sell, like, I don't know what you want to sell.
It could be like beauty products, and they're shipped directly to the customer.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that approach, according to your stance of thinking currently, and according to your code and your birth date, where you can make an income, modest income, meeting the requirement level of survival. There's nothing wrong with that. So, and in terms of you reaching out at this age, to where you are, you're 50, 52. You're going to be 52?
I'll be 53.
Great.
You'll be 53. So, you had a
Change at 51.
Change at 52. 3 into 52.
No, 51.
51. 51. 51. So.
What happened at 51?
I don't know actually, because I'm still doing the same thing I was 6 years ago.
Well, I mean, like a relationship change, a move. It doesn't necessarily need to be related to your career, but there may have been a change. Any change at 51.
Is there a divorce in your life?
No.
No divorce? Your parents separated?
No.
Something happened at 51. There must have been a change.
Yeah, nothing yet.
It's hard sometimes when you're focused so much on the question that you have to...
See, the way you're approaching this, Mary, I mean, selling things online, you might make a modest income, getting a group going without any sort of counseling background, but you have a degree in sociology. There needs to be something sharper to your approach. Mm-hmm. Now, you either need, to consult a business person, somebody that can sharpen your approach, because you're coming in with a spear, but it's a blunted point. It's got to be sharpened somehow. We don't have time on this show to go to it. You can always call us back or call us privately, but your idea is on the right track. But if we're going to throw the spear and make a point, we want to make a penetration. We don't want a blunted blunted apex here.
What can we ask you, because we're actually going over here, and in interest of time, got to move a little fast because we have to end the show in a minute. But what is it that are you employed currently? Like,
I am.
What is it that you do?
I work for a school board. I'm a secretary for a school board.
Okay, so the teacher.
I guess I never looked at myself that way from that perspective.
Right, you're in the environment. School. You're in the environment of teaching. So that you haven't called the show before, and you don't know how we work. But when I said teacher, that's when you probably
in the environment of teaching. So I'm in that environment. So you're picking up my environment of teaching.
I understand now. Gotcha.
So now we're getting into something that gets a little bit more intriguing. We don't have time to go into it, but we're sort of, as psychics, we're sort of on the right path, but in your endeavor to go self-sufficient, we've got to get that element deeper into your, from your soul, to know exactly how you're going to make
precision
that money.
Wise.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a way to do that. And your number system suggests is a way to do it. And your age is okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But there's got to be more content. The more narration has to be established before you can really go forward on that next step with confidence.
The only other question before we close is, are you planning on doing this as a side business and continuing in your current job, or do you want to be completely self-sufficient?
Well, to start, I would have maintained what I have right now to start. And at some point I would like to just break free from that.
Okay. Well, I mean,
the other thing, since your dad did vegetable gardening, there might be beneficial to think about your connection to your father, what he did. There might even be some dialoguing going on from the other side with him. Hmm. Possible.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
that would be a beautiful thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you're always welcome to call the show again, or you can call us off the air, but we do have to close the show for the day.
Okay.
We're normally on Wednesdays and Fridays, we had to move our show, but we're glad we got the opportunity to talk to you.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Okay, you're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye. We're back on the air on Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. Is that what it is? 9, 10, 11, 12? No, 12 p.m.
On
Eastern.
On Friday at
9? 12 p.m. Eastern.
12.
It's 3-hour difference. Okay. Hope everyone has a good week. Bye-bye.